There's so much more to talk about this big Auburn win versus Kentucky, and it's time for you guys to drive the show. Let's get it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. Let's get it. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. We are live on Sunday night, just like we are every single week. And we're ready to talk a little bit more about this big Auburn win, dive into it, look at a few different aspects of it that we didn't get to talk about. There was just so much emotion, in the reaction show. A lot of it was just me opening up my feelings. And now I want to let you guys open up and have some fun. There's a couple of things I want to talk about and discuss. And then I'm going to open up the floor to questions and let's just have a good time. Let's just have a good time. Celebrate this win. Ask anything you got on your mind, and we'll do our best to answer it in the most entertaining way possible. So before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double up deposit bonus. Give them $250. They're going to give you another $250 back on top to play with. Hit that sports book. Get you some of that Auburn -5.5. I think it's moving. I think it's actually moving towards Auburn. I think it's actually gone up a point since it opened. So that's definitely something to pay attention to. But definitely take advantage of the bonus and have some fun. So check them out, mybookie.ag. One thing we didn't get to talk about, and I think it's very interesting, is this is the Hugh Flu game. And you could call it there's I've heard it called other things that rhyme with flu, based off of what he was seemingly struggling with, a stomach illness. We called it, they thought it might be food poisoning. Regardless, you're going onto the road. You really need a win. And all of a sudden, your coach comes down with some issues and is just having some problems. Let's just leave it at that. I don't want to get too much into it. But yeah, he didn't travel with the team. It was completely precautionary. They thought it was food poisoning, but there is if you live in Auburn, you know, there's a kind of a stomach bug going around. So just to be safe, he stayed back. And I don't think physically he probably could have traveled on Friday. Gets there on Saturday and then obviously, you know, has the big win. It was funny. They were talking about it on the SEC scoreboard show, which, by the way, the SEC final show hits so much different after a win. It's so much more fun to watch after a win, because you're waiting for your highlights, you're waiting for all the good stuff, all the good comments, and finally you get those Auburn highlights and you get fired up. That I don't even watch the show when we lose. So that's a whole different ballgame. But one of the things they said on there, Hugh is sick. He didn't travel with the team, and there he is, high-fiving everybody in the stands. High-fiving everybody in the crowd, which I thought was hilarious. What do you do if you're sick? You high-five everybody in the crowd. It was crazy. It was just so many different things about this game. I think Hugh had to get on some IV stuff to get him his fluids. He said he was severely dehydrated, which if you've had a stomach bug, you know that that's very easy. Or any type of stomach issues, you know that that's very easy to happen. So all in all, just wow. At needing this win, and you're going in with, hey, our coach may not even be there. And, you know, he has coached from a hospital bed before. They did get stroked when that happened, but he has coached from a hospital bed before. I just know he was definitely not wanting to miss that game. I saw that already had a comment. Can Hugh get a bug next week too? Hey, don't knock it. Let's don't break the good luck streak. I mean, whatever's working works. If he's got to miss the meetings on Friday in the hotel, I mean, we might want to give it a shot again. No, I think you definitely want him there if you can, but hey, it's fun. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to talk about stuff like that after a win. One of the biggest storylines that I don't think gets enough attention is Alex McPherson. I mean, this kid last year was perfect. He never missed anything. He never missed a field goal. He never missed an extra point. Had an unbelievable year. And you're thinking, you're going to come into this year and you're going to have the best kicker in college football. And you got Towns Magoo, who can kick off and save Alex, and he can just do place kicking. And what a great tandem. You see, Towns may struggle on accuracy, but he doesn't struggle on leg strength. I mean, he's kicking every single one of them into the end zone. Like, you got a chance for a really cool little kicking tandem. And then the freak thing that happens with him and the gastrointestinal issues. And they say, I mean, we heard rumors of it, but it hasn't really been said out loud. Was, you know, he was around 165 pounds, which I doubt he ever got that much. He was ever that heavy, but regardless, he was at 150, 165 pounds, and he got all the way down to, you know, under 100 pounds. And you could tell he's gained some of his weight back, but he looked really, really frail and really, really small. But having him back is something that is very, very beneficial. He's nails when he's at his full strength. He's nails. I think he had to cook that one, the one after the intentional grounding that got moved back a little bit. He had to cook that one a little bit. And if you play golf, or if you've ever, you know what I'm talking about, when you're trying to get one, you may smother it a little bit and hook it left. And that seems like what he had. It wasn't a natural shot for him because of his leg strength. So he had to really pump it and obviously missed it left. But he drilled one earlier in the game. His first kick back, made every extra point. I don't think he's ever missed an extra point since he's been at Auburn. Just what a story, man. What a story. What a debilitating issue that you just don't really hear about a lot. You don't really hear about it, especially from an athletic standpoint. It's a rough deal. And it puts him down to where he can't even eat when he has a flare-up. So it's like really maintaining the flare-ups. It's tough. So it was very, very awesome to see him back, just back, and hopefully it's something that he can kind of get stronger and stronger and stronger until he's, you know, full strength and ready to go. Last thing that I want to talk about, and then I'm going to open it up to you guys. For weeks now, we've been asking, where is the clutch gene on this team? When are they going to step up and make a clutch play? When are they going to actually do something when things get tough and be able to turn it around and actually make something happen? Or when they actually have the lead, what are they going to do to when are they going to screw it up? Or when are they going to be clutch and actually put this game away? And over and over and over you hear, you know, you just see us do it in different ways. You see us blow it in different ways. And finally, it felt like in this game, it was multiple opportunities that you needed clutch plays that they got them done. Like, I mean, I can name 10 off the top of my head. Like, think about that third down on, I know it was, you know, towards the end. Think about the third down, the big third down play from Camden Brown. Like, hasn't really had much, you know, much of an opportunity, catches one short of the sticks and is physical enough to get across the line. Every single third down play to Jarquez Hunter out of the backfield, passing to him out of the backfield. And then you come to towards the end of the game, it's Auburn's up 14 points, but Kentucky's driving and you're just worried. Okay. Is this where, cause this is what's happened at Missouri. This is what happened at Oklahoma. They hit a big play and score a touchdown, and then they get a stop, and now they got the ball with a chance to either tie or win the game. And you're thinking, can Auburn get that stop? And Kentucky's driving, and they're driving, and they're driving, and they're getting penalties, you know, and that are extending drives. They're little things. They hit a big pass play. So now you're like, oh, my goodness, this is about to happen again. And they get on the goal line, not on the goal line, but get on like the 2 or 3 yard line on first and goal. And they take two shots right up the middle and they're stuffed two times. And the second time was that there was a hole that was enough for me to get through. It was wide enough for me to run through. And as you think he's about to walk in, and Eugene Asante comes out of nowhere and makes a play and stones him at the line of scrimmage and makes him go backwards. That play may be overshadowed by the interception. Like, that was an unreal clutch play from a senior that you've been begging to have. You've been begging, you've been hoping that you would get a clutch play like that out of a senior. And he did it. He stepped up in the hole and made the play. And then, like, the interception, like, I could talk about this one play forever, but that is such a tough play to make. Like, think about, they're in man coverage. They're on the opposite side of the field. And it's not just like a regular motion. It's a sprint motion. Like, he is essentially starting his route. Like, he is racing Kay and Lee to the pylon from the other side of the field. Okay. Now, here's the kicker. There's no one that's going to be impeding the way on offense because everybody has to be set. So the guy that's the offensive player has a clear path down the line of scrimmage until they snap the ball, and then he can run his route. Kay and Lee has to run through mayhem. He has to run through past linebackers. It could be safeties walking up. It could be anything. Like, dude, their defensive guys are moving around. He has to weave his way all the way through those guys, maintain his speed, because as soon as that receiver gets past the tackle or gets even with the tackle, they're snapping the ball and he's in the flat and he is at full speed in his route. Kay and Lee runs all the way across the field. There's no like incidental contact or anything between his own players, like between him and his own players. And then he knows what's coming and he's able to weave through the whole thing, dive under and pick the ball off. It's one thing to stop the play. It's another thing to make that interception. And like, what a clutch play. And Kay and Lee needed that about as bad as Auburn needed that win, because he's been picked on. He really has. He struggled. He was picked on early in the game. It's one of those things where that he's got great coverage, but for whatever reason, these dudes just make Randy Moss type or just unbelievable plays on top of him. And he had a pass interference on him early in the game that I thought was a terrible call. And he made, he made a really athletic play to break that up, and they called a pass interference, which I thought was garbage. That can get in your head, man. That kind of stuff can get in your head and change the way you play. And he stepped up and he made a very, very clutch play to seal the game that I thought was, I was just extremely fired up for him, because I've been hard on him the last couple of weeks too. So to see him step up in that moment, Auburn needed some clutch moments. And you almost had a season's worth of clutch moments in one game. I mean, you can look at the sack at the end of the first half and think, oh my God, here we go again. But Auburn rebounds and then makes key stops, key plays on third down, key sacks, key short yardage stops, the big interception at the end, like so many plays on top. And then on offense, there's several things you can point to on offense, but just time after time making big plays. It was something really fun to watch. This is like getting the monkey off your back times a million. This was a very sort of spiritual win, if I may. Like, it just felt like sort of a release of everything. So it was a lot of fun. And those were just some things that I wish I could have talked about last in the reaction show, but I was just trying to get it. I was just trying to get everything in, release the emotion from the big win. So all that being said, I'm done. So I'm turning it over to you guys. Okay. So the show is now going to be completely driven by you. I'm going to jump in and we're going to have some fun. TK, one of our regulars in here all the time, the best run was Dirk and chasing Kay and Lee. I joked. I said, challenge it. I don't think he stepped out of bounds. Obviously, he stepped way out of bounds. But, yeah, he ran the whole length of the field. And then you look up when he gets to the end zone, and DJ Durkin is chasing him. Just as excited, smiling, laughing, fired up as you can possibly be. Like, that is so much fun. Like, this – I have not been so happy over a coordinator hire. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a defensive coordinator, a coordinator in general. Like, DJ Durkin has been a godsend to this team. Like, he's basically, I think he's honestly saved the season. He's kept us in games, given us at least a little bit of hope that we can win these games. You can win these if you just make a couple of more plays. And the kids love him. You heard DeMarcus Riddick. I said, asked him who is one coach he could go to, and he straight up, DJ Durkin. That's my guy. And plays like that, like moments like that, that's why. That's why these kids love him. And I thought that was really exciting. So great point there. Great point there, TK. Let's see. JB, this was probably the best game that Auburn has played as a team effort all season. Totally agree. Both sides of the ball. All phases. I know there were some penalties here or there, especially on special teams, but there was a big kickoff return where I felt like Berrien Brown was very close to breaking one, and you had a big tackle, and he actually didn't even get past the 25. Like, kickoff coverage was good. Punt coverage was good. Punting was good. It was a good game in all three phases. There's obviously still some things you got to clean up, but it was just the most complete game, obviously, all year. Let's keep going through this. James Rutten, CJ Wiley decommits. Auburn lean question mark. If you remember, this was, I want to say, after week one. We had some shows and we talked about CJ Wiley initiating conversation with the Auburn staff. I straight up said, hey, he basically called Auburn right after Memorial Day weekend. That's whenever, or Labor Day weekend, whatever it is. That's whenever Florida State lost their first game. And I said, hey, CJ Wiley is trying to fire this conversation back up. And I think Auburn really worked hard on it, but I think a little bit of that, lull that Auburn had, especially some of the stuff offensively, maybe cooled some things down a little bit with him on his side. I think he's just going to, kind of wait it out. But it looks like now it's probably between Texas A&M and UGA. And I think he'll probably end up at Georgia. I don't think Auburn's going to give up, and anything can happen. But if I had to guess right now, I would say not an Auburn lean and probably looking UGA, Texas A&M. Texas A&M's hot right now. They look good too. And they got money. They sing Creed in the stands. It's phenomenal. Like, they got it going on. But those uniforms are pretty sweet too. But yeah, I would not say Auburn lean. I would say he's probably leaning UGA and then maybe Texas A&M too. So we'll see what happens. Johnny Barner, I guess Kentucky wasn't quite that good. I talked about this a little bit on the reaction show, but if you know. Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio or whatever his show is, KY Sports Radio or something like that. He's the man as far as Kentucky sports goes. He's the guy as far as a radio voice, a influencer, whatever you want to say, like, he's the Kentucky guy. And earlier in the year, he was doing some of these, like, I don't know what you call them, tours to go in and talking to alumni and stuff like that. And he was talking about basically Kentucky's a playoff team. Like, they could be a playoff team. And then I think people were sort of like, what? And then he kind of went in how Kentucky can make it to the playoffs. And he got to the Auburn, he got to talking about a couple of games, and he said, look, you win South Carolina at home, you win Auburn at home, that gets you to 6 wins. And he says, I don't even think you got to be good to do that. I don't even think you really got to be good to beat South Carolina and Auburn at home. And I think I did the math, and it was like combined, they lost to Auburn and they lost to Auburn and South Carolina combined 55-16 at home. So they lost both of those games, absolutely throttled both times. So yeah, if you don't even have to be good to beat Auburn, what are you if you get stroked by Auburn? What does that make you? I'd love to know the answer to that. That's an equation. That's a word problem. Let's figure that one out. Let's ask Matt what he thinks about that one. I also made jokes. He got really mad about me making jokes about the crowd. And I said, we're going to go play up in front of dozens of fans. I've got pictures. People were sending me pictures. There were so many people that were making sure that I remembered that, remembered that tweet so that I would have something to fire back. But there were people sending me pictures of the stands like after the third quarter. And it's like completely empty. When we took the knee and they go meet at half at the 50-yard line, the coaches go shake hands. there's not 5,000 people in the stand. There's not 5,000 Kentucky fans in the stands at that point in time. The majority of the people in the stands are obviously are Auburn fans that are waiting for the everybody to shake hands and then everybody come party. That they were gone. They were gone. So there was no – I never felt once that the crowd was involved in that game whatsoever. Like, I don't think it was a factor at any point in time. So everything I said seems very valid. And I said it with a top button, which he didn't like either. So whatever. I dig the top button. Got some, and I think others do too. So he can kiss it. Let's keep going. Let's see. War Eagle. I'm not reading any of your questions. We got one guy in here. He's trying to get me to crack, and he's got some good ones, and they would. Ryan Piercy, he saw my reply to Matt Jones. C5, I love the reply to Matt Jones last night. I basically said, hey, if you don't have to be good to beat Auburn, what are you if you get throttled by Auburn? So, and obviously I never heard anything, but I will say Matt Jones has been very hard on Kentucky. He doesn't really go out and he's trying to be really positive at all. He basically said we're looking at 4-8. There's just not many other wins on the schedule. It's very disappointing, blah, 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 blah. So I let him slide. You know, I let him slide. He's wearing it right now, and it is kind of is what it is. Tim the Toolman Taylor, I'll tip my cap to Alex. He's got a great recovery. I mean, I can't fathom what it's like. First of all, if I could drop 50 right now, I would. I mean, if I could do it on my own, not like voluntarily, not just by force, basically through what he's gone through. But to drop that much weight in a short period of time when you're trying to be a collegiate athlete and then have to build back up strength, like you haven't even been able to kick since, you know, you haven't really been able to kick all year. You remember, he didn't play in the spring. He didn't kick during spring. He didn't really start kicking until just like, maybe a month or so ago. So to do that and then come in and you hit all your extra points and you make a 32-yarder, I believe, 32-yard field goal. And honestly, you just barely missed a much longer field goal, a 40-plus. It was nearly 50 yards. You could just tell he just, I had to get it. And he just kind of, that toe shut down a little bit and he snapped it a little bit. But, yeah, very, very impressive. Great story. Great story there. War Eagle, why? I haven't been under 100 pounds since fourth grade. Me too. This is one thing. Like, I couldn't gain weight in high school. I couldn't gain weight. I could eat whatever I wanted to. And now it's like I can't go the other way. Now, no matter what I eat, I gain weight. So I'm with you. I haven't been under 100 pounds in quite a while either. Johnny Barner. With four games left, if Hunter has at least two more games like yesterday, he will only be third behind Bo and Cadillac in career rushing yards at Auburn. And I feel like it can be done. The numbers I looked at, he's well over 3,000. I think Bo's record is 4,300 yards. Cadillac is like 38 or 36 or 38, something like that. So you got four games. I mean, if you just go 150 over the next four and then somehow you make a bowl game, I mean, that's what, 600 plus yards? That would put you at 3,600 yards. That's closing in, yeah, on top three. And nobody deserves it more than Jarquez. Nobody. There's nobody that's been through what he's been through. Tank Bigsby's the only one that deserves it as much as Jarquez Hunter, because both of those guys stuck by Auburn when they didn't have to during a very, very dark time and have produced. And they've obviously been really fun to watch. this is funny, James Rudin. First Alex McPherson, now Coach Hugh Freeze. I've been patient long enough. Fire the team nutritionist. Hey, man, we love to fire folks. We do. And you know, sometimes it feels good because coaching searches are fun. But, man, we will fire your butt if we can. If they let the fans fire staff members, we wouldn't make it through a year. It'd be awful. NH, one of our regulars, NH 3425, that win was desperately needed. Huge momentum swing. I've been saying it all year. Get Hunter 20-plus carries. And it's a game changer in a good way. Epic night for Hunter. Great to see McPherson. I agree. It was good, and it was working. That's another thing. Hunter got a lot of carries last game, but it wasn't working. We started to chip away, and you kind of stuck with it. You kept just pounding them in your face, and then Jake Thornton's offensive line made them quit, basically. In the second half, it was just whatever we wanted to do, running the ball, we could do, and it was pretty nice. Let's go to Romulus. He wants to. He paid, so I'm gonna read it. Y'all thought y'all would beat Arkansas and Cal. Yes, we did. We did and we didn't. It was we struggled in both of those games. So, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about the big win over Kentucky and happy and enjoyed it. So, Thomas Jones, one of the real another regular. Here we go. First and foremost, happy for the win. But does Hugh have a quota for at least one trick play in the red zone every game? I'm just saying. Hey, he texted me about this during the game. Look, I understand the frustration with trick plays, but don't sometimes we just get mad when they don't work? Like, don't we just – like, if it, and it wasn't even that much of a trick play. The big problem was that because you don't take the direct snap, you can't throw the ball away. Other than that, it was not a very trick plays that are unsafe are what really, really bothered me. When you start doing like flipping it a bunch of times around in the backfield and all these triple passes and throwbacks and stuff like that, that's when I get a little nervous. But like, this was just Jarquez took a direct snap and then handed it off to Peyton, and it was basically just a rollout. But yeah, it did end up in because he didn't get the snap, he can't throw the ball away. And it did result in an intentional grounding, which moved. And I said it when he threw it. I was like, shh, that's intentional grounding. It's coming. And sure enough, they called it, which moved the field goal back just enough to where Alex, you know, it just snuck out of the upright on the left side. So I'm with you. I don't like the Wildcat. I never have. I don't care if it works. I don't like it. They're late in the game. You went to it again and with the lead. And Damari made an unreal run, jumped a kid. We talked about it on the reaction show. Unreal run. I just don't like the Wildcat. I tell you what, I like it a lot better when a true running back is getting the direct snap. I don't mind it so much then. It's when, you know, we bring in a converted quarterback or somebody that, you know, is not even a super elite runner. That's whenever I have a problem with it. But for the most part, if it's a running back, I don't mind that much, but I would rather just never see it again. As long as I live on this earth, as long as I walk across the earth, I would love to never see the Wildcat again. Let's see. That's a really good one. Why? I'm not reading it, but that's a good one. Chad Harper, will Jarquez be a first round pick? He should be. But typically they don't, typically running backs are not quite as high valued as they probably should. I wonder if there's any like draft projections on him. So I'll look that up. I'll look at what some NFL draft projections are for running backs. But I don't think he's going to be a first round pick, but I think he could be a pick that could be a very good NFL. I think he could be a very good NFL running back. He's done something this year that I never thought he could, and he's definitely improved his game receiving. And he's a weapon now out of the backfield. And, you know, used to he was a liability. I don't even see him. I'm looking at the projections right now, and I don't know when the last time this was updated. But, I mean, you got like Ashton Jeanty, who's number one, Quinshon Judkins, Ollie Gordon's on this list, Travion Henderson, Amarian Hampton. Like, you see a lot of these guys. He's got a lot of guys. And all these dudes are like 6 foot, 220, 230, 225, 226. And, you know, Jarquez is big enough, but I just don't know that he has the measurables to be a first round pick running back. But he's a really good player, and I think he's going to be a good NFL. I think he's going to be a good NFL back. Let's see here. JB, I've been saying all year, if we're going to win, Hunter has to be a big part of the offense. I don't want to get too carried away about this. Okay. I don't want to get on a pitch count. I don't want to get mad if Jarquez only has like 18 or 19 carries one game or something like that, because again, you tried it last week and it didn't work. So we're going to play some teams that are going to – they're going to make the run tough. Like Texas A&M is going to make it tough to run. So if you continue to force Jarquez down Texas A&M's defensive front's throat when they've got playoff implications on the line, I think it's going to be tougher. A balance is still important. Balance is still very, very important. But it did – it was working, and Jeremiah Wright was killing people. Braden Joyner was taking manhood away from people. He was stealing the manhood. How do you say that plural? I don't know if you can say that. Manhoods. He was taking manhoods away from people. I'm not even really sure how to say that. But all those got Connor Liu. They were killing people, and it was working, so they kept going to it. And I like that. If something's working, just keep pounding it. I'm glad they finally got Jarquez going, because once he gets going, he's tough, because he'll run through you, around you, and by you. He can do it all. I was down with that. This is James Rutten again. What was the key yesterday for the running game popping off? I think the key was you finally got your offensive line lineup sort of locked in. You had a full week of preparing with this offensive line. That's Dylan Wade at left tackle, Braden Joyner at left guard, obviously Connor Liu, and the right side doesn't change. It's the Dylan Wade, Braden Joyner combo on the left side that has really sparked, I think, this offensive line. Braden Joyner's emergence is the best story of this team, maybe even better than Alex McPherson coming back this past week. And I think that's what it is, because like it's not like we ran different plays. We didn't run anything different this week than we did last week. You just won your matchups, and you had a better – you didn't have Percy Lewis came out quick against Missouri, but that lineup that went in that was the same as this week, they had not been practicing together like for very long, like a whole week of game planning together. That's your backups going in. Well, this week they were all part of the game plan, so you know what all of those guys can do well, and you focused on it. And they did it. And I think that's what popped it. And they just continued to lean on Kentucky until Kentucky quit. I mean, they made them quit there at the end. Let's see. I want to keep going. I think the design on C5 shirt is going to trigger a seizure. This is the rowback. Polo with the Aubie heads on it. Y'all need to check it out. I think you use Vice 20. You can get 20% off. They've also got a hoodie, maybe two hoodies. I think they have two Auburn hoodies and Auburn quarter zip, and it's pretty much hoodie and quarter zip season. So y'all definitely need to check those out. Let's see. John, this is a good one. Kind of moving forward. John Pine, do you think our D can contain Pavia on Saturday? Pavia is about the, if I had to go down the line, if I'm looking at from an athletic ability standpoint, third or fourth most athletic kid at quarterback that we've played this year, maybe fourth. And the defense is sort of, I don't know that any of them have really had their way, like guys that can run really good or move. I don't know that any of them have really had their way. It seems most of the time that Auburn offensively craps the bed, which then puts the defense in a bad situation. So I think it's going to be a lot of the same, what you've seen. Defense has never been a worry of my. I'm more worried about Vanderbilt's defense than I am their offense. I'm not really worried about anybody's offense, honestly, that you play, because the defense does enough – puts you in enough positions where you can win the game. Now, Pavia is clutch. Pavia is a killer. So, is he going to make some miracle plays? I'm sure. Is he going to make some big-time plays? I don't think there's any way he's not going to. But as far as like worried about this otherworldly athlete that's going to, you know, going to be tough for us to contain, I don't really see that. I don't really see that in him. I'm definitely not overlooking him. I definitely think he can make some stuff happen, especially when plays break down. So their offense is kind of weird. It's they would rather have 3 or 4 yards at a time and hold the ball forever. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to try to keep the ball away from us and then just dink and dunk us. I'll do a know the enemy. I'll do the know the enemy on Saturday, and I'll really dive into the numbers and what Auburn's got to do to be able to handle Vanderbilt. I think we'll be able to contain him. I still think he's going to make some plays, but I don't really worry that much about that's not the matchup I'm worried about. TK, Durkin has great energy. Understatement. Yes, he has phenomenal energy. He's awesome. He's awesome. So happy with him. Let's keep going. This is so true, and you could feel this, man. Taylor, thanks for jumping in the chat, Taylor. Players celebrating post game healed some of my pain. Such a good feeling. Seeing these guys having fun. Jarquez Hunter did a backflip. Jarquez Hunter, a senior, did a backflip when we took a knee. He stood up. He stood straight up and did a backflip. First of all, I didn't know he could do a backflip. And second of all, that's crazy. Why would you do that? Don't get hurt. We still need you. And then third of all, like, that just shows you how locked in and how close these guys, how bad these guys wanted it. That's just unreal. I'm so glad you mentioned that. And then, you know, the smiles on their faces, like it just made it worth it. It made it really, really worth it. It was great. James Rutan, I want your over under on Jarquez carries against Vandy. I'm going to set the line at 18.5. I think possessions are going to be low in this game. And as far as like number of drives, so I'm not going to be upset if he doesn't go over. I just think it's going to be a lower carry game because I think there's going to be fewer plays because they're going to hold the ball forever. That's just my thought. I could be wrong. Just really, really early. Let's keep going. Let's see. Steven Bradley. I thought Hunter was lollygagging around, missed a block, causing a sack until Damari went to the game and had some good runs, made him look bad. He went back into the game and he was a different man. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe that fired him up. Whatever it was, I'm happy it fired him up because he went off. He went off. I mean, it was just like it really reminded me of Trey Mason in the SEC championship game against Missouri. It seemed like every time he touched the ball, he was just going to go 20 or 30 yards. He'd run until he got tired. That's the way it felt. Let's see. Any news on Offord? I expect him to be in town at least once, if not multiple times, over the next 3 games. Maybe he'll be – I think he's a very good chance he could be here at Vanderbilt. I think Auburn still sits really well with him. I think he's going to be in the class. I think he's going to end up being in the class. I'm just the way he communicates with recruits, the way that the emphasis that Auburn's put on him, the sort of the slowdown. I think Auburn's kind of slowed some things down and refocused a lot of quote unquote efforts, if you know what I'm saying, towards to make sure that they can get this kid. And I think ultimately they get him. I really do. I could be wrong. But based off of the way things are going right now, it's hard to imagine that kid not being in the class. Okay, it's a great question. If you're Coach Hugh Freeze, what's one player on offense and defense that you'd throw a bag at? I don't know if you mean offense. I don't know if you mean high school, portal, or on your current team. So let's do all of them. How about that? So high school. On defense, obviously it's Naeem Offord. Make whatever happen. I think that's what you got to do. On offense, I wish it would be an offensive tackle. I think Andrew Babalola is probably out of the picture. I don't really see him being a flip-flopper, but Malachi Goodman, I'm not going to be shocked if he's not on a visit list here pretty soon, even though he's committed to Penn State. I think the lines of communication there are still open, so I would say that. And then on your own team, I think you got to do whatever you can on defense to keep now, when I say this, don't think I'm saying that he could possibly leave. I don't think he's going to leave. But Keldrick Falk, you got to keep Keldrick Falk no matter what. No matter what happens, that's a child you can't lose. And then on offense, I'd probably go with – let's see. I think I'm going with Cam Coleman. Either Cam Coleman or Malcolm Simmons. Like, you got to keep – I think you're going to keep all of them, but – definitely one of those guys for next year, because they're going to be just that much better and that much more explosive next year. And then in the portal, that's tough because you don't know who's in the portal. But I'm gonna shy away from that one. I think offensive tackle and quarterback are going to have to be your biggest focus. And then on defense, I don't know. You're really maybe one big time defensive tackle. And maybe one linebacker. You don't really need a ton. It's crazy. You don't really need a ton from the portal moving forward, which is great. I'd put all my focus on offensive line right now, a quarterback, maybe a wide receiver, and then an interior defensive lineman, and maybe one linebacker. You're loaded with young guns that can play football, and that's good. Let's tackle this one. I'm going to take a couple more and then we're going to call it a night. War Eagle Y, still seems like we struggle with clock management pretty regularly. I punted my dog across the living room and Thorne took that sack to end the first half. We got the ball with like 2 minutes and 20 something seconds, I think, to end the half. And you had a really, really good drive. The problem was not so much there as it was earlier in the half when we lost a timeout where I talked about this on the Barn Takeover, where I'm wondering sometimes if the headsets make us go later and we call plays in too late. If you remember that we had to blow a timeout somewhere in the middle of the first half where we called we changed a play with like under 15 seconds left. And, you know, Thorne has to go change the play, then look at what the defense does, and then decide which way he's going to go. And you couldn't get it done in time. And then you had to burn a timeout. And that hurt us down there at the end, because I really wish we could have run it there on third and five and then called a timeout. Or done something different where you didn't have to take a shot. You didn't have to drop back and throw something into the end zone. Thorne took the sack, and look, I understand it was on him. He should have got rid of it, but that dude got in there so fast. He got in there so fast he hurt himself. he was running so fast that he knocked himself out of the game. That's what happened. J.J. Weaver, they showed him on the sideline 1 billion times in the second half to let us know he was out of the game, which we knew the first five times that they told us. But he was running in there so fast that he took himself out of the game. But there's some little things that you can nitpick here and there. I wish we'd get plays in faster. But all in all, like I said last game, I had to watch the game without like dwelling on every decision. I wanted to watch one game where all I did was cheer to win. And it was refreshing. So, but I do understand what you're saying. There is some communication stuff that's got to be cleaned up. That field goal, that that fire drill was hilarious, because the starter stayed out there. If you notice, Connor Lou stayed out there. He's not the long snapper. 44, bless his heart. He got shoved down on the ground I think it was Jeremiah Wright, shoved him down on the ground. And then he's looking around like, wait, I'm the long snapper. What are you guys doing? So he just squatted down like nobody's going to see me. It was hilarious. There was like 14 dudes on the field. It was awful. But that's a very low percentage. Like, it's very low percentage that you're going to make that happen. Anyway, let's keep going. I'm going to do two more and then call it a day because y'all are great. Y'all are firing them in. Let's see. Let's keep going. Jonathan Hubbard, I saw this come up, so it's something worth talking about. So is Nix a real contender for the Southern Miss job? That chart that they put, or that graphic that they flashed up, was the first time that I had heard that. Now, he is from Mississippi. He's got a lot of ties there. And I assume if he ever wanted to be a head coach, this would be a very good opportunity for him, but he's still young. I mean, I don't even know if is he 50 yet? He's still got time. He's 44. Like, do you want to be 44 and your first job you get is Southern Miss, which is it just seems like it's a coaching graveyard. Now, maybe he could revive it. I don't know how serious it is. I don't think it's very serious. I did see that, and it was, it's somewhat concerning, but I'm not something I'm really worried about. All right, let's ask one more, and then we're going to call it a night. You guys are great. Let's see. Oh, this was one. This is a really good one. Good one to end on. I didn't realize Keontae Scott didn't play a single defensive snap last night. That's a storyline. He struggled, and that's a change that Auburn, DJ Durkin, and staff decided they were going to make. You're going to go out there and return punts, but that's it. Like, we're going to go to these younger guys that are making plays, that are hungry, and that's what we're going to go with. And that's what you saw. He didn't play a single snap at all, period. No, go give somebody a blow. Go give somebody a breath. Nothing. He didn't come out on the field at all except to return punt. So it'll be interesting to see if that's the same deal for the rest of the year, because I feel like the secondary was pretty daggum locked down, even though there wasn't a great passer, and they didn't necessarily have just really, explosive. Well, they did have some explosive wide receivers. They just couldn't get it to them. Barrion Brown's a beast. That dude, if he was anywhere else, they must be paying him ungodly amount of money because if he's anywhere else, he is a problem. He is a very gifted athlete. And that other guy, Keys or whatever his name was, he's obviously really good too. I think it said he was became the leading receptions or something like that. Pass Randall Cobb. That's pretty good. He was pretty good. So that's obviously a good, good company to be in. Yes, he is a Southern Miss alum. So, fee friend, he is a Southern Miss alum. So that is another thing to obviously look at. But I think anybody, when there's a coaching search, you always want to label somebody that's a Southern Miss alum or an alum in general as somebody that's got a shot to take the job. But we'll see. Guys, what a great show. I really appreciate you jumping in. It's a lot more fun to do these after a win than just sit here and try to feel like I'm on the stand defending, Hugh Freeze or defending the staff, and that they did a really good job. Closed out, were clutch, fought through some sickness, did what they had to do, and got it done. And hopefully it's something you can build on. Take down Vanderbilt, take down Louisiana Monroe, and then whatever happens in the next two games. Maybe you can split Texas A&M, Alabama. Maybe you can win one or win both of them. Like, we'll see what happens. They both seem beatable. So we'll see what happens, but got to keep it going. Guys, thanks again for listening. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. And we're going to be back all week. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Guys, stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.